This is TWiT.
Now, you probably heard, we've talked about this story before. Over the last several years, the government has waged war on Huawei, calling the company a national security risk due to its alleged ties with the Chinese government. Now, an executive order barred companies, even international ones, from selling Huawei hardware or software that contained U.S. technology. Now, additional restrictions on trade with Huawei have made it extremely difficult for the company to keep building networking equipment and smartphones. Now, there's a new regime in the U.S., and Huawei is sending feelers out to test the waters with them. Now, one of the tools against Huawei was an FCC ruling last year that declared Huawei a national security threat and barred U.S. telecommunications from using government funds to buy Huawei gear. Now, Huawei has filed a lawsuit in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit challenging the ruling, calling it arbitrary and abuse of discretion and not supported by substantial evidence. Guess what? The new FCC is defending the position. In addition to the Department of Commerce is in charge of Huawei's export ban, while the incoming secretary said she would, quote, protect Americans and our network from Chinese interference, she also declined to promise to uphold the Huawei ban until a review had been completed. So we're talking about the FCC upholding it and the Commerce Department potentially upholding it. We've established kind of an axiom here that if the new FCC administration and Commerce are not willing to roll back the restrictions on Huawei, that might be just enough to say that there might be something pretty darn good happening here, right? So I want to bring my co-host in. You know, this is an interesting one, right? I mean, we thought that this was essentially a big ploy, potentially a a marketing ploy, I guess you could say, of protecting Americans, trying to define a narrative for Huawei that they were a danger and that we were holding them back for a reason. But now we have a new administration, a new narrative, and they're still willing to uphold those sanctions and those restrictions. What do you guys think? I want to start with you, Curtis. Is this just a message to say, yeah, this could be a danger to the country. Maybe we should hold this stuff up.
Well, I think that that Huawei is going to need to do a lot more than sending a pleasant message to get off the list of unwelcomed hardware. There is a long history of Huawei having some really interesting contents in their software. Those contents range from code that was lifted from U.S. networking vendors, often without even going to the trouble of filing off the serial numbers, to things that could, at least in theory, and this is something I have not personally seen, but according to people I trust, allow others to backdoor into systems. So I think they've got a long way to go to convince the U.S. regulators that all of the danger is past. And I think that there are things that they can use in other countries that are not nearly as effective in the U.S. In certain parts of the world, they go in and they are the low-cost provider, especially for 5G switching equipment. They are a major potential source of low-cost 5G here in the U.S. But at this point, I think the U.S. carriers have decided that they're just going to rely on other providers kind of regardless of what Huawei does. So it's going to be an interesting distraction in the technology field for what I'm guessing is the next couple of years. And it's going to be fascinating to see what they roll out to try and convince U.S. regulators that they are all warm and cuddly.
Indeed. So, Ben, what do you think? I mean, this is going to be require some changes even in their supply chain because, obviously if they don't change the narrative, they're still going to be blocked.
Yeah, it's hard. There's a lot of manufacturing even for U.S. companies that happens in China, right? And I think there's been a lot of pressure put on, I'll speak for F5 briefly here and try not to get myself in trouble. We're put under scrutiny by, government organizations, large enterprises to prove that, we don't have any supply chain compromises, that we do proper due diligence in ensuring that what we manufacture is not compromised somewhere along the way where, malware is inserted or something embedded in the firmware. So there are very real risks in anything you acquire. You know, we talk about SolarWinds, that's software supply chain, but hardware supply chain problems can be even harder to root out. Even take, the hysteria that occurred when Bloomberg published those articles about Supermicro some years back about, rice-sized chips embedded on the board, right? These are, fears that continue to come up over and over again. And so, I'm inclined to think, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, the difference with Huawei versus, say, a company like F5 or other, U.S.-based manufacturers of network hardware or server hardware is that, Huawei is, a Chinese-owned company where, even if the supply chain is great, what if the supplier themselves are the people that we fear, that we suspect of bad activity? And that becomes, that makes it impossible to even trust something like a trusted platform module, a TPM. So for the enterprise professionals in our audience today, if you're not familiar with that, read up on it. If you are familiar, you know that this is a chip that's embedded on many systems, sometimes optional, where you can enable something to it's basically a checksum for hardware to ensure that it is as it's supposed to be. But even that, if the way it's intended, if the design intended by the manufacturer is to, create a backdoor for, an espionage, nation state espionage by, the country where they live. Now, we know from our Huawei guest from a few weeks back that, they maintain, complete separation from their owner. But I think that begs credibility. That they can maintain such complete separation and still function in an efficient manner that represents one company going to market. So I tend to fall on the side of just being very, very cautious because we really have a lot of reasons to distrust what's coming out of mainland China. They've got a long, long history of industrial espionage against intellectual property in the U.S. And I don't think, you can look at the recent anniversary of the APT-1 report from Mandiant and FireEye and how groundbreaking that was and showing the depth and length of that type of espionage. So if the administration, with all their extra intelligence, says we need to continue this export ban, I'm inclined to side with them.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you mentioned like Andy Purdy was on episode 404 of Twilight, and he talked a lot about Huawei America and just how they've tried to separation of concerns between mainland China's business and the American business. Curtis, I want to ask you, I'm going to throw it over to you for the last word here. They were trying to push the message that they are fairly separated. They have third party vendors and companies verifying that and auditing them pretty regularly. And so they're trying to again establish that narrative that they're separate things, they're separate entities, and they operate separately. And there's really no push from the Chinese government coming on there. Is this something that they're going to have to continue doing in the United States going forward in order to ensure that they also have that separation of business entities there?
They really are, and they weren't helped in this claim of separation by what recently happened to Alibaba's Jack Ma, who said some things that weren't even terribly critical of the Chinese government, and he just disappeared for a while. So even though there may be separation, the question is how autonomous they really are. While there may not be a direct line in the organizational chart between the hierarchy of Huawei and the Communist Party in China, you can believe, and many American officials do believe, that there are all kinds of dotted lines there in the organizational structure. So I think it's going to take not only third-party verification, but verification by third parties that the U.S. government trusts. And that may well be the tricky part in all of this. because it's quite easy to get some third party to say something nice, but to get a third party that everyone trusts, that can be a lot trickier. And like I said, I think this is going to be one we're hearing about for some time to come. The stakes are huge in both directions, and that means that this is definitely a game worth playing.